Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRA. Wait, DRA? Doctors Anonymous? Oh. FAIR or any of them, they're guys.
DRA is Dual Recovery Anonymous.
Is it?
Yeah. The dualies.
EA? Did I mention that? No. I don't even know if EA is still around.
I think so.
Emotions Anonymous. They tried it at Charter Oak, lasted about 3 months.
Emotions Anonymous?
Emotions Anonymous.
People that are just too...
People who can't identify their emotions?
I guess so.
They're overdosed on emotions? They're over-emotional? Don't we just call that a period?
Oh, ow! Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always with...
Death Stare Burnett.
Death Stare Shelley Burnett.
Yeah. And holes being lasered through him. Mark.
There you go. It's like what there used to be videos on YouTube, and it was like cats with laser eyes, and was
I inhaled my own saliva.
Yeah, Shelley gave me the death stare on that one.
And you know, I was thinking about it the other day because I was talking with a customer, and
you gotta laugh.
Do you know that there is nothing that is recorded, like that's music or that's made as some kind of film, that is not available on YouTube somewhere? I mean, everything. I mean, like, if you said, you know what, my favorite musician ever was Jimi Hendrix, and you could as long as it was filmed at some time somewhere, it's on YouTube. Like, I was watched the other day, and I used to really like Deep Purple when I was young, and I used to have a collection of albums that was Deep Purple Virgin Vinyl. It was a thing put out by Reader's Digest, of all people, and it was in Budokan, and darned if there wasn't video of it. And I was like, oh my god, I mean, like, video of anything ever filmed is on YouTube. I watched a really good old Charlie Chaplin movie the other day called Modern Times, and it was on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Shelley,
what?
You're writing a new book.
Yeah. But
give us the entire plot so someone else can copy it and make a bunch of money.
No. I've had this story in my head for 20 years. No.
Get it out to make room for something else.
Yeah, really.
Well, my theory with Shelley is, as we know, Shelley has read more books than anybody I've ever known in my entire life. I mean, like, for sure. Probably quadruple or five times the most the biggest reader I know besides her. And my theory is she has read so many good books and so many bad books that she knows what works in a book and what doesn't work.
Maybe, maybe not. An avid reader does not necessarily make an adequate writer. The two are not necessarily, one does not follow the other.
But we're about to find out.
However,
I was gonna say, way to promote yourself.
However, in order to be a good writer at all, you have to be well-read.
Would you say that I'm well-read?
You're simply read.
Depends on what you're wearing. No, depends, you are not well-read.
I have poetry that's published.
When was that?
College.
Okay, that was...
Those were more limericks, weren't they?
No, that was,
I'm just kidding.
Poetry.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
I had some haiku published, and I had a couple other ones published as well.
You did smoke a lot of dope, didn't you?
So.
I wrote a lot when I was smoking dope back then. A lot of songs.
You had
a
haiku. If you had haiku that was published, you smoked
a lot
of pot.
I'll tell you what.
Pot.
I could have wrote back then. I could have wrote songs for Journey because everything I wrote would have sounded like something Journey would have done. And that's and as much as I oh my God. By the way,
what?
This could almost should probably be in the boozy news. Shelly and I go see Journey at the Hollywood Bowl, and they got the new Filipino guy. He's great. He knocks it out of the park.
Is.
And the drummer is suspiciously missing, Dean Castronovo.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear someone in the crowd or something says, "Oh yeah, he got arrested for spousal abuse."
Mm.
So, yeah, not only did he get arrested for spousal abuse, like they fired him.
Journey
did. Fired him. And he's got about 4 months sober now, and he came out and he said, "Look, I completely effed up. You know, I'm not going to say it's all behind drugs and alcohol, but you know, it certainly exacerbated the situation. And you know, I'm not really good for anybody right now, and I don't really have anything going. And I'm just here saying I'm just trying to do what I need to do to stay sober." So you know what they do? They hire back Steve Smith. Now I know you probably don't even know who Steve Smith is. Steve Machine Gun Smith was with them all the time that they had all their biggest hits. And now he's back with the band. The only one missing? Steve Perry. They have, well, I mean, not the original band, but yeah.
Well, Perry is not coming back, so.
No. And you know what? I love me some Steve Perry, but he did a few songs with this band called The Eels. You can see it on YouTube. It was kind of cool to see him singing, but it's just.
Well, you know why he had to quit the band? He had that degenerative hip disease.
Yes.
He could barely walk.
Yes. That's why. But, you know. Ainsley Dunbar was the original drummer. Good drummer. Of course, we're missing Greg Rolie. Everyone's like, "Welcome to the Journey Hour."
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
So, Mark.
I hear buttons being clicked on computers for miles around.
Mark. What sports are going on right now? What's the big thing in sports right now?
Oh, well, hockey for me.
So, who's leading in hockey right now? Who's winning?
Who's got
the best team?
Washington Capitals, Chicago Blackhawks, Kings, Ducks.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but we don't care about all that. Who should we bet on? That's what we want to know.
Yeah. Oh. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
I don't know. It's too soon to tell. Got to see who gets in first.
Oh, I know what I got to throw out to you because I threw it out to Shelly today, and she was like, "Oh, my God."
What?
So we're walking around down by Eastland Mall.
Uh-huh.
And Dick's Sporting Goods, which I think is uh-huh. hilarious, has a big sign, "Welcome Home Rams."
Uh-huh.
Now, see, that's Shelly's thing. And she's like, "We don't need a football team." I'm like, "Of course we need a football team."
No, we don't.
We're the largest area in the country with no team.
He doesn't think that we need a football team either.
Why?
Because it means that we're going to have to watch all Rams away games and we're going to get blacked out in the afternoon when they're home.
Oh, see, yeah. It's only because you can't watch the local team on regular TV. But, yeah, but, you know, normally, though, I mean, with cable and with Fios and all this, you can't find it on, like, some Pittsburgh channel or something?
No.
Speaking of Dick's Sporting Goods.
What was before it was Dick's?
Chicks.
Chicks before Dick's?
Oh. Chicks with Dick's.
I saw a meme on Facebook, and I've seen it a few times since, and it makes me laugh every single time. And it says, "I have confirmed that they do indeed sell staples at Staples." And then there's a pause, and then it says, "I'm off for Dick's."
I'm what?
I'm off for Dick's. Like, I'm leaving for Dick's.
it was Dick's after Chicks.
Dick's after Chicks. Okay. Shelly, why do you not want any football? I mean, I know why Mark doesn't, because he won't be able to watch it.
We have enough sports. We don't need any more sports.
We have two hockey teams. We have two basketball teams. We have one soccer team. We have no football team. We got two baseball teams.
We have the USC Trojans and the UCLA Bruins. That's plenty of football.
Yeah. We have plenty of sports. The thing is, you know what? I wouldn't mind if we had... we do have sports in LA, but I wouldn't mind the sports so much if we had a team that actually won. That would be good.
Lakers?
I don't like the Lakers.
Clippers? Dodgers?
I don't like the Lakers.
Well, Lakers have won a gracious plenty.
I know, but they have ugly uniforms.
They look like everybody else's uniforms.
Exactly. I don't like basketball.
That's how it goes.
I'm not a basketball person.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we've had a modicum of winning teams here in the Los Angeles. I mean, you know, Dodgers have won many, many times.
No, not the Dodgers choke every year.
Well, there's a lot of that, too. But, you know, it's hard to say your team sucks that gets in the playoffs a lot of years. You know, I mean, we don't usually make it all the way to the end, but it's like, do you know many teams out there rarely make the playoffs? And their citizens are 1,000% jazzed if they even get in the playoffs. You know, we get in the playoffs quite a bit, right, Dodgers?
Yeah.
We just never seem to hardly be able to finish anymore.
So, okay, so here you go. Who won the World Series last year?
I don't even know.
Yeah, see, it was only only 5 months ago.
Was it?
Oh, it was, oh, shit. Well, see, because...
Royals.
It wasn't
very good.
I was going to say, it wasn't really my Cubs weren't in the series, but they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're sort of not my Cubs. They're my dad's Cubs, but yeah. Still. Got to see them at Wrigley Field. That was cool.
That's cool.
How long is the sports hour going to go on? Because it's already been going on 6 hours.
Okay.
Well, that means it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Thank you for listening to the Recovery 101 Sports Hour.
Okay.
Featuring commentator Mark M., who seems to pick Super Bowl winners like every time.
That's because he's smart and he pays attention.
It's because I'm lucky and I'm arrogant.
Oh, well, there is that too.
That made me go.
We have shout-outs to Natalie, Carol, John, Joey, Sally, James, Dan, Stryker, Alexandria, Elizabeth, Neil, Monty, and Take 12 Radio, Georgette, Bill, and Fran.
Okay.
Monty!
The Monty man.
Now, where was I?
I actually sent an email to someone that represents Dean Castronova to see if we could interview him.
Fran sent this story in. This happened in...
Florida!
Thank you. However, the person that was arrested, Davina Renee Cutchell,
three names,
41 years old, was actually visiting Florida from California. So, you know, we're spreading our insanity. She was eating at the Ocean Buffet when
is
she decided...
Is all you can eat Chinese places?
I don't know. It's just the Ocean Buffet. I bet it is. There may have been alcohol involved. She suddenly began swearing loudly and slurring her words when she was asked to stop behaving in that manner, ran around the store and tried to stab people with her fork. She was yelling at a woman, the first woman that asked her, can you please not swear like that in front of my kids, because she was shouting and yelling. She stood up with her fork in her hand and went after the woman. Then
she could have just said no.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Another patron, a man, got in between the two of them and told Cutchell, you know, you need to sit down. And she went after him with her fork. Apparently, her fork is her weapon of choice.
He was all forked up.
If I saw someone going after someone with a fork in a restaurant and they're running by me, I would stick my leg out.
Well, it degenerated.
Like they would, just you're like they'd fall on the fork and you'd get sued.
Probably.
It went downhill after that because when this other patron got in between the two women, and she couldn't reach him with the fork, she grabbed someone's soda and threw it in his face. And then
that is actually so cool in person, by the way. I just want you to know, if you've never seen that in person, I was at a really nice restaurant for dinner one night, and I'm sitting next to a table where this couple's sitting.
Uh-oh.
And they're celebrating their anniversary.
Uh-oh.
And about two-thirds of the way through a very nice dinner and a bottle of champagne, and I'm close enough to where I'm within earshot, I hear the tone of the conversation change.
Uh-oh.
And he...
Time to go.
You hear the, what did you say?
And he told her about the affair he had. She did not say a word. She stood up. She picked up her water glass, threw it directly into his face, and walked out of the restaurant. It is so awesome in person to watch. I mean, it really is. Nice. I mean, I got wet and everything, so I was right there, but...
Nice.
But just what you guys know, it's really cool to see in person.
Well,
Sonny, go ahead.
After the soda throwing, and she tried to go after him again, the first woman that she tried to attack with the fork threw a plastic bowl full of ketchup at her, and then there was just a food fight going on. The restaurant employees tried to intervene. They called the police. The police came and arrested her.
Yeah. We did a food fight in college one time.
Yeah.
Where they charged my fraternity like $2,000 in cleanup
because costs.
It was a big cafeteria-like, and it was all carpeted. And we started it, and, you know, the cleaning bill...
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how much food went. I mean, people did things like flipped over an entire long table to get down behind it. And, of course, all the food on that table went on the floor, yeah. And it was...
Food fight!
Yeah, food fight! Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Someone said that. Food fight!
Yeah, we all thought Animal House was cool.
Yeah, it's not cool if you're the host school administration looking at the cleaning bill on the carpet.
Yeah.
Bill sent this story in.
Yay, Bill.
And I thought this was one of those clever things I've ever heard. This happened in Australia. Australian police discovered, now this is in U.S. dollars, $712 million worth of liquid methamphetamine.
Wow.
In Australia.
That's a good weekend right there.
In Australia, it's known as ICE.
That would be enough. Ice, baby.
They found it hidden inside a shipment of bras. That was going out of the country. God. Now, it wasn't just in with the boxes of bras.
God, I love the stuff that's in bras.
And you said it was called ICE, right?
Yes.
You go to put on that bra, you get headlights right away.
I knew that was coming. Anyway, what they did was, it wasn't just hidden in amongst the boxes. It wasn't hidden inside the individual boxes with the individual bras. They actually took the time to take the gel out of the push-up inserts and inject them back with the liquid amphetamine.
Spent all night trying to get that girl out of her bra. I had no interest in her once I did.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, how did the cops figure that out? That's what I want to know. Somebody had to have tipped them off.
Inside, yeah.
They had to have somebody tip them off because
how much was it?
$712 million worth. It's over $1 billion in Australian dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a lot. I was looking at the picture, and there's this warehouse.
That is a lot.
It's like pink boxes of bras, and I'm pretty sure I've seen that brand of bra around here somewhere.
I'm thinking if it's liquid amphetamine, it'd be like being liquid anything else. It makes a lot of powdered material when you make it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily need to be a whole lot of it.
Wow.
They said that they estimate... that what they took off the streets was 3.6 million individual hits or doses of this stuff. And when you see the picture of it, it's literally a warehouse full of these bras.
Uncut. Which means the street value of that is probably double.
Astronomical.
They did arrest three people, two from some other part of China and one man from Hong Kong.
The street value would pay off our deficit for a week.
Yeah.
Fourth largest expenditure the U.S. has is the interest on the debt.
Yep.
Something like, it's crazy. It's like $2.4 billion a day. It's like
week.
Crazy amount. Or is it a week? So I don't know, it's a crazy amount of money.
Fran sent this next story in. And the company is based in...
Florida.
Thank you. The company is called Florida Relief.
They laxative?
Make, no.
Yeah.
Oh. Close.
And acid.
They make a vaginal suppository.
And so do I.
Put it out on the market. You know, Florida has medical marijuana. They put it out on the market. It has three ingredients: organic cocoa butter, distilled THC oil, and CBD isolate.
And that works?
They're pills, and they're supposed to relieve menstrual cramps, and you shove it up your jacksie, and That's supposed to help with your cramps.
Jaxie's better than the word you used the other day.
What, twat?
Twat.
He hates that word.
Yeah. You're a vajayjay.
Okay, how about coochie?
Okay.
I
like the C word better than I like the word twat.
And most women would be like the other way around. Anyway, this is not FDA approved.
To it, to what, to who?
This is not monitored. This is not anything. It's a pill full of
weed.
THC.
Cocoa butter and weed.
I mean, it's just, and it's going to be absorbed.
Yes.
So
I can see where that would help with cramps.
I can see. I guess it would, but I can't. I mean, you, not only would it help with cramps, but you wouldn't go to work. You would, you'd gain some weight because you'd be eating all day long, but, you know. I don't think that I would be willing to do that.
Mark, would you be eating all day?
Not during the cramps.
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Shall I continue?
There's other people out there who are laughing their ass off right now.
There's 400,000 guys who are just going, yeah.
And there's, okay. And there's like 25 guys going, I got rid of my Red Wings. Oh, she got it now.
Okay, Fran sent this next story in. It's out of
Florida.
Yes.
We just can't get out of that state.
No, we just can't get out of Florida. Sergeant.
There's a high level of weird shit.
Well, so does California. California, Texas, and Florida account for like 90% of the country's whacktastic stories, and the other 10% comes out of New York.
Massachusetts.
Sergeant Ralph Williams was arrested.
Car dealer?
No, sorry.
Right, yeah.
He was arrested, released, then reassigned to desk duty. Because he gave a driver a break by falsifying a speeding ticket. He pulled over a guy. He was doing 69 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone.
Well, that's
pulled him over. License was suspended. So what he did was he gave the ticket to his girlfriend, who was the passenger.
Why?
He said he gave her the ticket instead of the driver because she knew he didn't have a license, so she was putting herself and her child in danger by riding in the car.
But why?
Because he'd already started to write up the ticket, basically. I guess he had to finish the ticket. And by doing that, then he wouldn't have to arrest the guy. But then another officer found out he did that and turned him into internal affairs.
Wow. Happened to the blue curtain.
So you have to arrest the guy.
No, he didn't get arrested. She got a ticket. No. She's going to pay the ticket. He didn't get arrested. The cop got arrested.
He would have had to get arrested, though. The guy would have had to get arrested.
Yeah, but he didn't.
I know, but who?
This is Florida. What do you want?
Yeah, true.
This has already taken up more time than it was worth.
Yeah. Let's see. Where was I?
Florida.
Cop does cool thing for people.
Oh, this is a cool story. This is actually out of Sacramento. Michael Martin, he was a homeless man. He's in Sacramento.
Martin.
He was formerly a line cook, and he moved to California because he was supposed to be getting a job cooking for the Salvation Army in Sacramento. And the job fell through after he'd moved here. Didn't have enough money to get a place to live or anything, so he was homeless. What he did was he just walked around the streets handing out his resume. Didn't ask anybody for money. Wasn't panhandling or anything. He just kept handing out his resume. He'd take all his change or whatever. He took all his change and ran off copies of his resume. Talked with a few people on the street. Told them what his story was. A downtown restaurant in Sacramento called Pizza Rocks found out about it and offered him a job as their chef.
Pizza Rocks.
I know. Pizza Rocks rocks.
Pizza.rocks.
And the company says that he's doing very well, and I'm quoting the manager here, he was ecstatic about landing a job and very grateful for the opportunity. He was even up the night before he started work studying the menu.
They gave him
some work clothes up front, you know, chef's clothes up front, and a temporary place to live.
Very cool.
Yes, that's a
shout out to them, heroes of the week.
Well, not just Pizza Rocks, but also the Michael Martin. I mean, instead of what I would probably do is bitch and moan and whine and complain. He just said, well, I'll just hand out my resume. Somebody will hire me.
I had a guy come in my store one day, was looking for a job, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to give me a resume because I said I really wasn't hiring. He goes, and I really don't have a lot of resumes. And I said, email me. I said, do you have an email? And he said, yeah, I can. Oh, matter of fact, he might have used the one at the library. He goes, yeah, I've got an account I can use at the library. And he emailed me a resume, and I print him off like 50 copies.
No, good for you.
Yeah.
And finally, there's got to be a naked man. There has to be a naked man. Every week, we have a naked somebody. And of course, he was drunk and on drugs.
No.
So there's something about being drunk and on drugs and in public that makes your clothes fall off. I don't know.
Tequila makes your clothes fall off.
Yes. 44-year-old Jeffrey C. Pittman. It's three two and a half names because it's an initial. Was found inside a Sikh temple in Spokane, Washington. Vandalizing the temple with a ceremonial ninja sword.
In a Sikh?
Buck naked and completely loaded for bear.
Seeking
in a Sikh temple. Yes.
Seeking ye shall find.
Wait, aren't Sikhs I knew those Indian?
No. Well, maybe originally. I mean, the religion itself maybe came from India.
I think Raman might be a Sikh.
Maybe. Yeah, they're.
So the guy, what's the guy doing with the ninja sword?
Well, he got loaded, and he was cold because he'd taken off all his clothes, and he was hungry, and he. They don't think this was a religiously targeted event, like he meant to do this or anything.
He just smelled curry and headed that way.
Yeah, and he was walking in the area. It's a big building. He broke in, looking to find some food. Once he was inside, and he saw what he thought was ISIS headquarters.
Oh, jeez.
The ninja sword, I guess he had it on him because it wasn't at the temple.
No.
And he took his sword and just started destroying everything, thinking he was saving the world.
Good for him. Good for him.
Good for the temple.
No, not so good for the temple because the Sikh religion
I bet he's got
is
a place
fairly
with a warm,
peaceful.
He's got a nice warm place with a bed now, doesn't he?
He does now.
Yeah. Three hots and a cot.
And yeah, all the love that he wants.
He completely pretty much destroyed the place with his ninja sword and then passed out, which is where he was found by temple volunteers who come in to clean in the morning.
Like, hey, everything's wrecked and there's a naked guy with a sword.
Should we call the police?
Yeah.
Or should we just count on our higher power to figure this out?
Well, no, they called the police. That was how they found out he thought it was ISIS, because that's what he told the cops when they showed up. It's ISIS headquarters.
Wow.
So,
perfect.
Yeah. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
What's up?
Shelley?
What?
You've got a book.
Oh, yes, I do. On Amazon, it's called Shelley Burnett Updated Her Status. It is a social media diary, and you can download it for your Kindle. You can also read it on other devices by getting the free Kindle app first and then downloading it.
Sweet.
And it's cheap. Dude. So go get it.
Less than a latte at Starbucks for hours and hours and hours of reading enjoyment. Shelley is quite the writer. If you buy it and you read it, leave her a review. Works like Yelp, I think. So, Mark, we have another topic. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, good, because I don't.
I did it. AA meeting recently, they were talking about an article in the Grapevine, just kind of lamenting about the amount of time speakers seem to spend on what it was like.
What it used to be like.
What it used to be like.
And not so much,
not so much on what it's like now
or what
happened.
The Drunkalog Divas.
You know, and it's kind of like they start about the first time they got loaded or recall having alcohol in their system,
right.
Which I've heard speakers, it's anywhere between the third trimester and age 13 or 14.
Right.
You know.
Wow, I was a late bloomer. I was almost 19.
Yeah. But so most of them start around high school.
12.
Yeah. Well, by the time they get to the point where they were in their late 30s to late 40s and got sober.
45 minutes have gone by.
They've covered a minute of each year. And then they've got 10 minutes left to wrap up. You know, I get it.
I used to do that a lot. And so, what I've done the last few years, I usually say, I'm going to give you like three stories of what it used to be like.
The Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, I'm going to give you three stories, and I'll usually pick an alcohol story and one or two drug stories. And then, you know, and try and leave it at that. But I used to be like that. A lot, actually.
Yeah.
I get it with new people. Like with newer, like, you know, you get a speaker who's, which we've talked about many times, people that are really on fire for speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 to 9 months. They are like, there's stuff starting to work for them. But the problem is at 6 or 9 months, you had 22 years of getting loaded and you got 6 months of being sober.
Yeah.
So you got 22 years of what it used to be like, and then, you know, a few minutes of what happened.
Yeah.
And then not that much time to share about what it's like now. Right.
Well, even people in that 4 to 7 year range, which we've always said is just the peak optimal
speaking time.
Yeah. Still, they've got 20 years of using and 3 to 7 years of being clean and sober.
Shelley, you were a secretary of a large speaker meeting.
Yeah.
For, what, a year, 2 years?
No. I was the literature person for 2 years.
Oh, literature for 2 years.
Their secretary commitments were only 6 months. And the reason for that is because pretty much everybody who was ever secretary of that meeting either moved out of the area immediately afterward or went out. I think I'm one of the few that stayed in the area and did not go out.
So then you've...
It's a high-stress commitment.
And you've seen a modicum of speakers.
Yes, and the rule there was I had to get speakers that had at least 10 years.
Right. Now, did in your time there, did you run into any speakers that were long on the war story, even with over 10 years?
Yeah, probably at least half of them.
Yeah, so right along with what we're talking about, these are people with some time. You know, you get over a decade, that's some time.
What I found being the secretary of that meeting, when I found somebody that was long on the recovery end, on the, you know, she did the Drunkalog really in like 3 minutes, uh-huh. 4 minutes, and then in 10 minutes on what happened, and then the whole rest of her pitch was what it's like now, mm-hmm. I booked her 3 times in 6 months, and everybody loved it. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, Teresa's coming back. Those were some of her highest attended meetings. Mm-hmm. And I rebooked her, and I had to rebook her, like, I booked her twice more the same, that first night that she spoke, uh-huh. because she was getting speaking gigs all over the world. So I had to make sure I fit her in her schedule. Because when you get a speaker like that, that has a solid story and a solid amount of time and talks about mm-hmm. the recovery end of it more, they're like gold. You don't want to let them go. Yep.
Now, Mark, you've secretaried a number of meetings.
Uh-huh.
You've run into this, I'm sure.
I have from time to time. Getting speaker, you know, I don't know. I might be a little more fortunate than most people because I've got a big out-of-area network.
With guys with a lot of time.
With guys with a lot of time. And we just go speak at each other's meetings.
Right.
So I'm pretty fortunate with that because not only will they come, but, you know, they'll always – like I had that one night I had my friend – Richard, come speak at our meeting. We had it out of the back patio, remember, because we wanted to smoke cigars.
Right.
And he brought three guys with him. They all had time, and we booked all of them to come back and speak.
Right.
And they thought that was the greatest meeting in the world because we sat out of the back patio and smoked cigars and had the meeting.
Right. Yeah, where I see it happen a lot, and I've seen it happen, you know, I've seen it happen in zillions of meetings, but I'll tell you what. The meeting that we've been bringing back from the dead, the Thursday night speaker meeting in Covina for
last 2 weeks
Cocaine
were awesome.
Anonymous, the last straw meeting. For a while, we had secretaries that never went out and got speakers from elsewhere, and they would do things like grab patients.
Yes.
That are, I mean, we talk about someone who got loaded for 20 years, have been sober for 5 years, and of course,
five minutes.
These guys have been sober for 22 days. They got loaded for 30 years. They've been sober for 22 days. And it's like they don't have anything but war story to share because they haven't been around. I mean, you could spend a minute talking about each day of your sobriety and only take up 30 minutes.
Yeah. You know it's funny. The meeting that where this came up at, the guy who led the meeting has 38 years. And he led the meeting. And people's hands were going up to share all over the place, and he just flat ignored all the hands that went up and was calling on other people.
With a lot of time.
With a lot of time. So the person with the least amount of time to share was one of my sister's sponsees. She's got like 7 years. She had the least amount of time in the room of the people who shared that night.
Wow.
Everybody was like 20, 25, 30, 35 years. And at the end of the meeting, this girl raised her hand by the time they're saying our time is up. She goes, "Can I share?"
You say no.
The leader looked at her and said, "No. The meeting's over." I'm sure there are many people here who'd be happy to talk to you after the meeting. So, but he just said, "Dude, that's how it's done. Time is up." And it turned out she had about a half a day. So she couldn't share anyway.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit earlier because there are people that I've heard with time that have a tremendous amount of war story, but they have their recovery like woven through the war story like they've been crocheting something.
Yeah.
You know, normally, I mean, usually where I hear most of my comedy is from the what it used to be like. But usually people like that, they temper, you know, they'll be like, they'll be talking about how they did this and this and this. And they'll be like, you know, these are the type of things I don't have to do today because when I worked this step, that allowed me to get past that. And so if you walked in near the end of the meeting, you might think this guy had shared nothing but war story the whole time when, in fact, he had woven stuff through. But, of course, that's probably the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because you went through a period like that. When I very first heard you speak was when you had about 11 years. We had just been together for maybe a year at that point, and I'd come to hear you speak, and it was almost all war story. And it was hilarious, and everybody laughed, but it was almost all war story. And as time went on, you went through a transitional period where you started to weave the recovery in amongst the war stories. And then
You took out the shooting up in the bathroom and you
took out some stuff and you put in some other stuff. And then you put in what I call your sober war stories. Like you started to tell the dumpster story more often.
Yes.
Because that's a sober war story. I mean, you started to do that and now you're pretty 50-50.
I'm probably better than 50-50.
No, because you've got about half the time being loaded and half the time being sober.
Well, no, actually, you may be like 40,
I've
10,
been loaded
50.
Longer than I got. I mean, I've been sober longer than I got loaded.
Well, you may have 40, 10, 50 at this point, because usually your getting sober part of your story is a lot longer than most people's.
You know, that's true.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
That comes from going in and out for 8.5 years. And that's like the weird part of my story is when I'm speaking, when I get to the point where I got sober the first time, then there's recovery and loaded and recovery and loaded like for 8.5 years, which is a, you know, 8.5 years is a large chunk of my getting loaded actually is, you know, it's almost a decade of my getting loaded time was interspersed with, we've talked about it many times. If I had stayed sober the first time, I'd have a lot of time right now.
That's right.
I would have 36 years.
You've got 36 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Right.
What year did you get sober?
85.
If I had gotten sober the morning I woke up and said, you're an alcoholic, and then didn't do anything about it, I'd only have 1 year fewer than you.
If I had gotten sober from the first time I went to a meeting, which was 1980... I'd have a lot of time. And the weird thing is, and, you know, we've talked about it, you know, the non-continuous sobriety. That 8.5 years, I probably got 7 years sober in that, just not in a row. What is it? You know, AA's got this in a row thing, you know.
They're all hung up on, like, numbers.
Yeah.
Continuity.
Like, you know.
They count days and nights.
So I slammed a few times in between, you know, recovery times.
I'm not going to hold you to it.
I will.
Yeah, I'd be.
You gotta earn that shit.
I don't care.
You know, if I made it another, you know, 10 years from now, I would have been like Harvey time. You know, I would have Harvey Angers. I would have been 45 years, 46 years sober.
Angers, not Angers.
He will always be Harvey Angers to me. This is a guy.
Name.
This is a guy that has been married like 7 times and eight times and 3 of them to the same woman.
So their divorce didn't work out.
Yep, apparently not. Apparently not. Now, what would let's say you experience it. Someone is sharing and they're just way overboard on their thing. Do you say anything to them? Or do you just let it run its course?
If it's a speaker meeting, you know what? You get what you get.
Right.
Because they're the speaker. Somebody booked them for a reason.
True.
I might say something to the secretary later.
Well, how about this? Do you find that you change your pitch depending on who you're speaking to? Because, for instance, let's say you're going to go speak at a recovery home.
Uh-huh.
Do you add a little more war story in there because they're going to relate to that more, or do you go?
I don't.
Harder on recovery.
I don't. It's hard for me to speak at other fellowships besides CA because I don't tailor my pitch. I will add to the beginning of my pitch. This is where I come from, so you're going to hear certain things that you may not want to hear in your meeting of your ilk. It's the way it goes. I was invited.
I'm about to have that happen this coming Friday.
Are you driving out to Lancaster?
I'm going to speak at the big NA meeting out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and hey, you invited me.
Absolutely.
If I have to, first of all, if I have to change my message and if I have to think about what I'm going to share, now I'm sharing from my head and not my heart.
Right.
And if I'm sharing from my head, you know what you're going to hear? Bullshit.
Okay, but couldn't you say that about all the people with the 90-minute drunkologues? I mean, because they're sharing from their heart, right?
Sure. So bottom line, I wouldn't book too many 90-day people to speak at a meeting.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, like, I'll tell you, one of the best speakers I've ever heard, seriously, is sitting right over here, Shelly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
always
I didn't
a
think
great
you were going to say me.
Yeah. Always a great pitch.
No. You know what? I've seen Shelly make people laugh and cry in the same meeting.
Well, and the weird thing is...
At the same stuff.
Yeah, possibly.
Half the room was laughing, half the room was crying.
The weird thing about me, though, is I don't really have a drunkalog. Because I drank in binge states, and then I would have long periods of dry in between.
Yeah.
And it wasn't exciting. I didn't do bumper cars with my car. I didn't do anything. I drank.
Yeah.
I don't really have any, you know, Bruce has the most amazingly wild stories. I have nothing to compare with that. So, I mean, literally, usually what I end up, I think, I mean, I know I've said this once. I don't know if I've said it more than one time. But I know one time I said, okay, here comes my drunk log. Don't fall asleep because you're going to miss it. It's only 30 seconds. Yeah. And then I told the underwear story. That's the only big story I've got.
You know, and here's the thing. And Bruce, it's about your speaking. It's not necessarily what the stories are. Bruce has a tremendous ability on how to spin the story.
Yes. Yes. So, well, he's a salesman.
Yeah.
He sells his story.
Yeah.
So. I don't have anything to sell.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
I'm not sure it's great, but you tell it well.
Well, you know what? I mean, I have customers all the time at work that tell me, oh, my God, you should be doing stand-up. And I'm like, stand-up
I'm a
is
podcaster.
Telling a series of jokes. And I am not a joke teller like that. Now, if I could do a series of stories, I'm a pretty fair storyteller.
Yeah.
But I'm not a one-liner joke guy. I can be a one-liner on here.
Yeah.
Like when we're all talking, we're all pretty good at like commenting on what other people are saying because and it's strange to say this knowing all our backgrounds, but we're fairly quick-witted in here.
But think about the great comedians of the past. Weren't one-liner type guys. They were storytellers.
Now that's true. Mm-hmm. George Carlin.
Robin Williams,
yeah. True. Richard Pryor. You know?
Yeah.
I don't really... Yeah. I guess because I don't have those kind of stories, I don't look at it. I look at my story because in my head, the way I see like my life, I think I tend to focus more on the recovery end of it because... My life is like the Wizard of Oz. Everything before my third year of sobriety in my head is in black and white.
Yeah.
And everything after that year is in color.
I mean,
so that's what I focus on because it's more attractive.
That's because someone dropped a house on that.
Somebody dropped a house on the bitch.
One of those classic Abbott and Costello doing Who's On First.
I love that one.
Yeah. That's a story.
Really funny.
Oh my gosh. I heard that the first time when I was like, 5, and I think I peed my pants. I was laughing so hard. I remember my granny was sitting there with me when we were listening to it, and she was just chuckling a little bit, and I was just crying. I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Have you ever seen the YouTube video on Abbott and Costello explain how core mathematics was founded?
How the what?
How core mathematics was founded?
No.
Oh, you got to watch that.
Is it like the same kind of thing?
Oh, God. You have to watch it. It is one of the funniest routines I've ever seen.
I will be watching that later.
Abbott and Costello, show us where core came from.
I will be looking for that, like with bells on.
Yep.
Now, what if you've got – now, I said, you know, you say something – if you would say something or something to someone that speaks with a long war story, you know, you get what you get. Someone asks something. Now, Shelley.
What?
It's your sponsee.
Yeah.
So you hear your sponsee speaking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a slightly different if it's your own sponsee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just let it go the way it goes, or do you give them some slight encouragement to change the way they do things?
If it's a speaker meeting and they're speaking, I can't really do anything about it while they're speaking.
No.
It's like Mark said,
could
we get
afterwards
I might say something. Mark is going to disagree.
Who lets their sponsees loose on the world without having a discussion about what they share about?
Well, that's true. That's true. But then you never know what's going to happen when you're actually in the meeting.
I've had my sponsees reach a point in conversations where I'll let them know they're finally ready to do a 5 to 10 minute pitch. As in, what you just shared with me tonight while we were sitting here, you know what? That's the kind of stuff you should share in the rooms. It'd make a great 5 to 10 minute pitch.
If I had a sponsee that got to that point, then I might, you know. I've had sponsees that have done the 10 minute thing at Charter.
Yeah.
And, well, I've had a sponsee that's done it. She did okay.
Yeah.
With a Z?
No.
She's done it.
The night she did it, I wasn't there.
Oh.
Oh.
And I'm not sure that I'm actually her sponsor anymore. I don't know.
I had a guy I sponsored, and when he had about a year and a half, he called me and said they asked me to speak at a meeting. And I was like, where at? I don't want to miss this. This guy was a college professor and taught dramatic sciences. I don't know what it was. And you know what? Every time I talk to this guy, I was like, God, some days he's going to get up on a stage. And he's going to be out. Because this guy told stories in a way that just, you just, people, you just saw the bodies keep moving forward in their chairs.
Right, and he was talking. Listening.
He did a 40-minute pitch. And I'll tell you what, it was just, it was fantastic. Half of it was absolutely full of shit, but it was fantastic.
Have you ever heard, I don't know if you will have heard of him before or not. Have you ever heard of, you might even have him on your friends list or something, named Mark Lundholm?
I think I do.
Mark Lundholm is like, he does several things, but he's a motivational speaker, but he's got time. Uh-huh. And he takes a thing around the country called the Comedy Recovery Tour or something. And they're all sober guys. And I'd love to take a shot because I, you know, I'd tell dope. I have a feeling that, and we know people in recovery, our friend Greg.
Yeah.
And he tells some recovery type
Alonzo,
humor.
You know, there's guys out there that are just really
and,
funny.
You know, it's funny because when you're telling recovery type humor, there are plenty of people in the room that are drinking and do drugs, and they totally get it.
Yeah.
You know, and the crowd is laughing, even though it's totally recovery-based.
Yeah.
And I'd love to give that a shot sometime.
Yeah, you could take people who are just hard drinkers who haven't gone over the edge yet and tell the story about the time you got up in the middle of the night when pissed in your closet, and they get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Got pissed in my wife's cowboy boots one night. I was so drunk. You know, oh,
see,
great.
I did that when I was 9. I didn't need alcohol to go pee on something in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God. I must have been...
I was sleepwalking, and my mom caught me peeing on the turkey that she'd left defrosting for Thanksgiving. And I was sleepwalking.
One time, my parents...
We had Chinese
food. We were living at these apartments, which made me about 7 or 8. My parents are playing cards. I walked right in, walked into the kitchen, went right up to the trash can and peed in it. And they're all looking at me. My mom's there with her, like, really good friends.
Uh-huh.
And she's horrified because there I am. Of course, it wasn't on a turkey.
And they're all parents, and they all get it.
She threw that away, right?
Yes, we had Chinese food.
That's what she said. We had Chinese food.
We had Chinese food. So you felt like you hadn't eaten at all.
What, did you brine this?
You're like, yes, I did.
Can you imagine if she hadn't caught me?
Oh, my God.
And I have no, she told me about it later. I have no memory of this because I was asleep. Right. So.
Turkey has a familiar taste. Is it kabuki or bukkake?
Ooh. Wow. Now, there is a number of guys out right there now laughing at that. And I don't think Shelly even got it.
I know I've heard the word, but I'm like, I know it's something bad, but I can't remember what it is.
Oh, it's all your
so I'm at a USC Stanford football game.
I hope there was no
and they're doing a tribute to kabuki dancers. And the Stanford band, being who they are, spell out bukkake on the middle of the field. And they get all done, and all of a sudden the guy goes, whoops, and they all start running around the field again.
Oh, my God. Holy.
One of the fun, they got suspended for a month.
And you know what? I would be willing to bet that that's available on YouTube somewhere. Because like I said,
hysterical.
If it's ever been filmed.
I was there. I was at the game. It was hysterical.
Oh, my God.
For most of us.
Now, what did we entitle this show? I don't recall. You had a name for it.
I did, didn't I? Might have to go back and listen to it to find it.
Because I'm going to ask for final words on...
Listen to it? You want me to listen to the show?
Sorry.
Oh, I know what it is.
What was it?
It was something like what it used to be like or something like that. Too much time on what it used to be like.
Yeah, too much time on what it used to be like.
So, Shelly, we'll think of the proper name for it when we go to save the file. So, Shelly, what were your final words on... You know, people spending too much time on what it used to be like.
I don't know if you're a speaker. I don't know. What my sponsor told me to do was, before you give your pitch, you pray, then just open your mouth, say my name is, and go from there. Because if you prayed about it, you'd probably be okay.
Oh. You can ask God to direct your thinking.
Yeah.
Mark?
Think about what's most important in your life and share about it the most.
There you go. I was going to...
You mean yarn? I'm going to give a 45-minute pitch on yarn?
Pitch on yarn.
I was going to mirror, although I wasn't intending to mirror, I was going to mirror something Shelley said. My sponsor once told me, before you speak, go up and pray that whatever comes out of your mouth is going to help people in the audience. So that works pretty well. So, Mark, we have a friend. Well, we have friends back east and the
we
in
do.
The
you can go to the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com or 12stepgazette.com/IE and get the East Coast or West Coast versions of the 12-Step Gazette. Please read and support those who help advance the road to recovery.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
Shelley.
I did that in the Thursday night meeting.
Yes, she did.
You guys have gotten that so stuck in my head.
I know. I heard you do it.
One of you guys said, dude, and then I said, sweet. And then I hear somebody else say, dude.
I know. I heard you.
Perfect. So, Shelley, people listen to the show.
Still?
Yeah.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it.
In droves.
I'm having a hair issue here right now.
You got hair falling
out. Well, you know what? Have you noticed?
Because it was all tangled and I couldn't get the comb through it. So then I started combing it out and now I've got hair everywhere.
Have you noticed how long her hair is?
It is.
It's funny because when I first met her, she had hair like a pixie.
Yeah, it was like an inch long.
And then she's told me ever since then that she wanted to grow her hair long because I like long hair. And I'm like, you know, it was really super short when I met you.
And I liked it then.
And I,
now I'm just not getting my hair cut because I don't have any money.
Debbie just cut about a foot off of her hair.
Oh, wow.
She got this stacked wedge deal going on. My daughter did it for her, though. My daughter just graduated from Paul Mitchell. So.
I can cut your hair.
Stay away from it. Where were we? Anyway, you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. If you're, thank you very much because that helps us with our demographics. If you're not, you'll have the opportunity to become a member. It is free
and fun.
You can listen to old shows. You can like and comment on old shows. You can leave topic suggestions. You can follow us so that you'll get automatic updates when we post the shows. And you can put us on your playlist for all your rockin' party needs.
Whoop.
So you can do the do-do-do-do dance.
If you are Facebook friendly, it's super, super easy to join Podomatic. You go to recovery101.net. It redirects you to the Podomatic site. If it doesn't ask you to log in right away, which it won't if you go straight to recovery101.net, if you try to like or comment or follow, it's going to pop up a thing that says, do you want to sign in or do you want to open an account? If you click sign in with Facebook and you are currently signed in with Facebook, it'll be a one click and then all of a sudden you are already a member and it will make things very, very easy for you. They will not spam you. They'll only send you a single email every time a new show is posted. So I don't even remember if it says we need access to your friends list at Facebook or anything because they don't do anything with that. At least my experience is they don't. If you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, as thousands of other listeners have. If you want to be anonymous on Facebook, you don't want your boss to see what you're doing or whatever, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group.
Shh.
And, of course, it will be difficult to join if you can't find it, which you won't be able to, because if you search for Recovery 101, you will get nothing except the fan page. But if you send us a message at the fan page or you message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, they can add you to the group no problem. You got to add them as a friend first. And then if you want to, you can defriend them later. Let's see, what else? Oh, we've got an email address, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topic suggestions there. If you're in a sober band or a sober performer, you can send us some MP3s. We'll play them as lead-out music. Send us a picture, and then give us a link you would like that picture to link to, be it SoundCloud or Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Don't forget, if you want to record a jingle for us, it's got to say Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in it. You can choose to mention the hosts, Bruce, Mark, and Shelley, or not. I'm not saying it's going to get played no matter what. Yeah. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, mm-hmm. Who is the lead out music by tonight?
We need to cycle Doug back in.
Falling Down?
Yes.
It's our good friend Doug with the song Falling Down, which I really dig that song.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
So wanna feel, yeah, you tell.